thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, God. Thank you that you've been faithful to your word in our lives, that you've accomplished your word in our lives. Father, I pray this morning that every man, woman, and children sitting here today will, Lord, not be just a hearer of the word, but they'll be doers of your word, because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the application starts. That's where all the persecution and everything starts, when we put our, your word into our lives and start to walk in it. And Father, I thank you. I release that you, oh God, Holy Spirit, watch over your word to fulfill it in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sunday school this morning, Father, we pray, Lord, and release our Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for our children. Lord, bless them as they go up. Bless them as they sit under the word. Bless them as they sit under the watchful eyes of the leaders of God that are teaching them. Teach them the word of God. We pray your blessing, the same anointing, the same power that is up here this morning will be up there in the room. All over them, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday school, you're released. And all the children said, oh, there's some grown children in the house. Hallelujah. Remember when I went to grade one, everybody had beards. Now you go to school, everybody's really young. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Tell your neighbor, I'm about to receive something from God this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. We are still on our path of the 2020, shift 2020. What I'm saying to the leaders is that this is not just a theme. If we consistently stand on what God has given us and commit to it, you are going to create something that has never been created before. A move of God doesn't just get created. I said last week, the move of God doesn't come from great conferences and great preaching and all that. The move of God comes from people coming together for prayer. Truly hunger for prayer. Praying for what God wants for the world. Amen? Putting our own desires and our own flesh aside and commit to prayer for something that God... See, we can travel along the same road that we are doing church every Sunday. And it's going to be a long road. But if you want some shortcuts in God, then start to get excited about the move of God. Start to get excited about creating something that will shortcut everything that you and I or man can ever create in it. Hallelujah. So our 2020 shift or mindset shift is not a theme, it's a move. It will happen, it will come when leaders and people and normal people like yourselves start to think about committing to prayer. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Prayer is one of the toughest things in church. Toughest things for Christians. But nothing gets done without prayer, my friends. Hallelujah. I said last week, prayer is not just a responsibility of the pastor. The prayer of the church is not just a responsibility of the pastor. Every man, every woman is a priest unto God. Hallelujah. Prayer is your responsibility. Hallelujah. And as we move into the path of uncharted waters, there will be many obstacles. There have been many changes since the church first got established here, 7 or 8 years ago now. And I thank God for all our leaders and pastors and deacons and those faithful families that are still here, standing and believing in the vision of the church. Amen? Hallelujah. For standing with me and Judith as well, to see so many changes happening in the church. And there are more changes coming. It's uncharted waters we're going to go through. And so be prepared for changes. Be prepared for disappointments. Be prepared for your little comfort zone to be shaken a little bit. I have been following Jesus Christ for 26 years. I'm a follower of Christ for 26 years. The last 24 years was my own purpose. 2 years ago, that shifted to God's purpose. Hallelujah. Some of you have been living your own purpose for too long. It's time to shift into God's purpose for your life. Amen? You may think that the life you're living now, it's yours and God's purpose for you. You're wrong. Once you tap into God, God's going to show you something that you've never ever seen before. You'll come awake from your sleepy, slumbering bed and go, wow, What have I been doing for the last 24 years? Living your own purpose. But God is interested in his will and his intent and his purpose to be fulfilled on earth. And he needs you and I sitting here today. That's why no coronavirus is going to take you to heaven yet. Amen? You're a vessel that the Holy Spirit needs. Holy Spirit doesn't need to be floating around. He needs a vessel to live and dwell inside to be able to fulfill all of God's will and establish God's kingdom on this planet earth. Stop thinking about going to heaven. It's not going to happen. No coronavirus is going to touch you. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 years ago, that shifted to God's purpose, and I'm excited about it. I've seen miracle changes in people's lives, and I've seen changes to in people's lives that wanted to change. Change is a choice. It's not up to me to change you or God to change you. It's you, up to you to make the change. It's a personal choice. Choice. Life is all about choice. Making the right choice to see changes in your life. If you're tired of living in that little miry clay or this place that you're living in now, that little pigsty and eating with the pigs, time to change. Time to get up and say, hang on a minute, my God owns everything. My Father owns a mansion, hallelujah. Why am I sitting here eating with pigs when I can be living in the palace like my brothers? Start thinking like that, my friends. As we move the church into the uncharted waters, many will complain and many will leave. Somebody say amen to that, Pastor. Because nobody likes uncharted waters. Nobody likes the unknown. It's a scary place to be in the unknown. When God said to Moses, get the people out. I don't care where you take them. Get them out of this oppression that they're in Egypt right now. Get them out. And Moses took him all into the desert, crossed the Red Sea, into the desert, and people started complaining. God didn't tell him you're going to see some nice waterfalls and some nice mango trees from Bowen, fat ones and big pineapples from Meribah. He didn't say that. He said, you just get them out. And Moses took him out into the desert, and they started complaining to Moses. Why did you bring us out here? We should have died in Egypt. Now we're going to come out here and there's nothing. And listen to what Moses said. Moses said, God, you better come and talk to these people because they're about to stone me right now. That's Moses' own word. I love Moses. I had to go and study this man. He's my Bible college. Moses and Joshua are my Bible college. Hallelujah. As we move the church into the uncharted waters, many will complain. I have been warned about this by those whom I look up to as fathers of faith. As you move the church, as you bring the church into a place that they have never been to before, be aware and be warned that there'll be some people complaining. Hallelujah. Murmuring, that's the word. I am not a Bible college graduate pastor. I am not a theological trained pastor. I come from the baptism of fire, school of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Straight as a Catholic boy into the baptism of fire of the Holy Spirit. Everything I learned from the Holy Spirit. Everything I've seen through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Everything that I've studied and come under is under the shadow of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Everything I learned and understand came from the Holy Ghost experience. The school of the Holy Spirit is never taught. It's caught. You watch it and you catch it. When Elijah was going up, he said, just follow me, Elijah. Everything that you want, I am not going to hand it to you. Wait till I get up there, and then it's just going to come off me. Hallelujah. And Elijah waited, and then the Bible says when he was taken up, the anointing came off him and went on to Elijah. Be a person that goes after something that you want. Amen. Stay with those that are going to lift you up and carry you through crisis. And hallelujah. Stay with the men of God that have been placed by you and with you for a purpose. Elijah followed Elijah until the anointing fell off him and onto Elijah. Our shift 2020 is not just a theme. It's going to become a movement. Hallelujah. With conditions attached to it. What are the conditions? Well, there's a price to pay. And I said before, God will birth a move, but it won't happen with a sleeping church. I am on this path. And until God said to get off this path, I will get off it. But I'm here for one thing and one thing only, is to create some mindset change in a lot of Christians' life. Hallelujah. Commitment and consistency to prayer is paramount for the church to birth the move of God. The Bible says Elijah what? Prayed, and then he what? Prayed again. There's a key to that. He prayed. And when he finished praying, the Bible says, and he prayed again. Hallelujah. God says, what do you see? He says, I see that. He says, go and pray again. Hallelujah. Jesus said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. But he also said what? Tarry until. Tarry means to wait in great what? Expectation. You don't just wait around and have no idea about what's happening. You wait around for some great things to happen. Expect something to happen. But while you're waiting, he says, while you're tarrying, pray. Pray. Praying is a topic that we're going to talk about in this church until you turn blue or green or whatever color you want to turn into. It is important for us to understand that. And I said to the leaders, if you want people to come to prayer, then you need to come to prayer. We leaders of the church must start to come to prayer. If we can become a praying church, I am telling you, something's going to turn around inside this community. Everything that you pray about and everything that you've been going against, it's because there's lack of prayer inside the church. Lack of prayer inside your life. Hallelujah. John the Baptist came from God's university of silence. God takes great men through that university of silence. Find yourself with a glass of water and a bread and a Bible with the Holy Ghost. No television, no books, no other thing. Just the Bible, just a bottle of water and a bread, and spend some time for a week with the Holy Ghost and see what He does for you. Amen. And then come to a Kumban prayer inside the church and see what God does inside the church. Hallelujah. Mindset shift 2020. God first. From Malachi to Matthew, there was 400 years of silence until what? John arrived. What an army of priests couldn't do in 400 years. God sent a man called John the Baptist. God filled, God fired, and changed his environment or changed the nation in 6 months. If we want to see changes in the community, go into the university of silence that God takes his great men through and great women through. Hallelujah. It's a challenge for us. Challenge for me as a pastor. Challenge for all the pastors here. Challenge for those that have not been doing it before. Fasting and praying. Let us all learn from John the Baptist. Shut ourselves for 1 week. No visitors. Tell everybody, no one come and visit me. I want to spend some time with God this week. With just your Bible. Turn your Netflix off. Turn your phone off. Turn your WhatsApp, your Facebook. Turn it off. Shut it down. Spend 1 week with God. Hallelujah. I want to begin by bringing this scripture, which is tied up to this message this morning. My message is called what? The cross country. Ooh, I love it. Everybody say cross country. Cross country. You know, the Bible says that we are not in a sprint. We are in a marathon, but we run through a cross country. Hallelujah. I want to begin with by saying that God commanded Moses, and when he took the people out, they complained. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, I'll read the scripture to you, and it says, so all the congregation lifted their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. What are they crying about? And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only... I hear some Christians always say that. If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we only had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us out or brought us to this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? The Israelites murmured against their gracious God. Sadly, many Christians are murmurers and complainers. In a home or a job, in a local church, murmur and complain. They can see nothing good to them. Everything is bad. Have you come across people like that? To that person, everything is bad. There's nothing positive about it. Everything is just bad, bad, bad. You know, if you've got a friend like that, time to change some friends. Time to find some new friends. I don't hang around with people like that. Because they just drag you into the place that they want you to be. They want, because they're in there, they want some company. And so they want you to be in there to keep them company in their own little self-pity party. Hallelujah. Because those who are chosen, listen to me. God is looking for sons and daughters to rise up. He's looking for chosen ones to rise up. Many are called, the Bible says, but what? Few are chosen. I want you to put yourself in the path of being what? Chosen. Not just being called. Everybody's called. But God is looking for those who are actually what? Chosen. If you put yourself in a place of being chosen, you will be chosen by God. Hallelujah. Because your heart's saying, I am tired of this life. I want to do something for God. I want to do something that's totally different from what I'm doing right now. Hallelujah. Because those who are chosen and understand their purpose and see the vision are ready and will never murmur or complain. A congregational mindset always complains, but the sons and daughters of God, amen, that understand the vision, understand who they are in Christ Jesus, amen, never complain. Never. Never. Hallelujah. Being called and being chosen is a choice. You are called, but you got to make the one more step to be chosen. Make no mistake, murmuring is a sin. I'm just introducing my message. I am not starting preaching yet. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 to 15 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become what? Blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault in the midst of a what? Crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine what? As a light in the world. You're supposed to shine as a light in this crooked and perverse generation that's always complaining and murmuring. Frightened of coronavirus, frightened of SARS, frightened of ISIS, frightened of all this other stuff. We're going to die now. How many years from 2000 all the way? Y2K came around in 2000, everything. We're going to die now. The church is still going. The church of God will survive through everything that the enemy throws against it. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said what? I will what? Build my church. Oh, I love this scripture and I will gonna use it all the time. I will build my church and no gates of hell shall what? Prevail. No gates of Hades or whatever you want to call it shall prevail against this church. And this is the church, my friends, that has to have a mindset change. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 says, be what? Hospitable to one another without grumbling. Do I have to feed them again? Oh, do I have to make tea for them again? Why are they here? Oh, come on. Somebody say amen to that. Oh, you know, I got no money to feed these people already. Why are they still coming? The Bible says, be hospitable to one another without what? Grumbling. Stop grumbling, hallelujah. Kingdom of God is not about grumbling. It causes one to perish, the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. It says, and do not grumble as some of them did and were what? Killed by the destroying angels. Oh, that's a good one. Hallelujah. Thank God we're under grace, eh? Amen. My goodness, if I was in the time of Moses, I would not grumble. The real fear of God is amongst the people. Hallelujah. Cross country. Everybody say cross country. Cross country. Cross country. Oh, come on. You're falling asleep already. Tell your neighbor, cross country. Cross country. Hallelujah. We are in the cross country. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, hundreds of thousands of sermons have been preached on the seven words of Jesus Christ. Everybody likes to preach that. You've heard that sermon so many times. Some of you have preached that message. And I like that because there's some principles in that sermon, the message that I'm sharing this morning that's so powerful. You know, the statements that Jesus makes. Some people always say seven words of Jesus while he was on the cross. Everybody preached about that. What are some of them? Number one, first, he says, Eli, Eli, or Eli if you're an American. I'm a Jewish guy, so I said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm not a Jew, okay? So don't freak out. Second, he says, I thirst. Third, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Fourth, Today you will be what? With me in paradise. Fifth, son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. The sixth, it is finished. And the seventh, into my hands I commit my spirit. These are the words that he spoke while on the cross. The length of time Jesus spent on that cross after he spoke those words was 6 hours. 5 hours and 59 minutes he was hanging on that cross. And if you look at all these words that he said and he put them all together, they're less than a minute. He said all these words and then he hung for 6 hours in silence. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say while he was hanging on that cross for six hours? 5 hours and 59 minutes, he said nothing. He hung on that cross. It's a great question. It's a good question. Ask yourself, what would you have done? I know what would you have done. I know what we would have done. We'll be cussing everybody that's putting us through this pain right now. Imagine you're a person that just did nothing wrong. You're just doing nice things in the world. You're feeding people. You're looking after the people. You try to do things for the people. And many Christians are going through the persecution right now where they're trying to do nice things, but they're getting persecuted every time. This is a message this morning that you must receive, that you must get. Because in this time that we're living in, there's going to be times like that. What would you have said in those 6 hours? You would have spelled every kind of curse word or cuss word over the people that have done that to you. Jesus, the Lamb of God, hung there for 6 hours in silence. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 says, "Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges rightfully." Oh, hallelujah. The sermon of silence that Jesus preached was the most powerful sermon he's ever preached than any other sermon he's ever preached with words. The sermon of silence was powerful. It's for every Christian to understand that sermon of silence. The sermon of silence Jesus preached was the most powerful. And that sermon of silence is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was the book that spoke again about all the silence that was in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 52 verse 13 to 15 says, "Behold, my servant shall deal what? Prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." It's talking about Jesus on the cross. He says, "My servant will be lifted up on that cross, lifted high before all men. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Isaiah said, when they finished beating him, when they starved him for 2 days, when they pushed the crown of thorns inside his head and spat on him, and the 38 stripes or 37 stripes or how many stripes that he had on his back as the flesh was ripped from his body, Isaiah said, you would not recognize him. Isaiah says, they won't be able to recognize him. But look at the next statement in verse 15. He said, "So shall he sprinkle many nations." Every time that whip went across his back, a nation was covered in the blood. Every time they pulled that whip off his back, you were washed by the blood. Hallelujah. It says nations were sprinkled by the blood when that whip came off him, when the blood dripped from his face. Hallelujah. Every time the whip went on his back, his blood sprayed. And the Bible says it sprayed all nations. Hallelujah. Look at the next statement. It says, "Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall what? See. And what they had not heard, they shall what? Consider." Isaiah, that word was preaching silently as Christ was hanging on that cross. He didn't have to say the word. He says, "Go back and read. While I was silent, all this was happening." That was the sermon of silence that he was preaching on that cross. In other words, there will be a message in his silence. Jesus said more in his silence than all his preaching. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1 says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of God or arm of the Lord been revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground, or out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, but we hid as we were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Most of us think that God was afflicting him. The Roman soldiers were afflicting him. The Roman soldiers were just tools at the hand of God. He was not a martyr. So don't you ever tell anybody that Jesus was a good man who died for something that he believed in. He died for everybody's sins. He died for everyone sitting here in this room today. You young people, don't you go to universities and the professors and all your teachers tell you to follow some weird cult called Scientology or follow Buddha or Hare Krishna. Jesus died for all these men. All of them, all the cult groups that you think that you're going to follow, he died for all these people. Died for all of them. Hallelujah. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Coronavirus was taken care of on that cross when Jesus was silent. Hallelujah. AIDS was taken care of on that cross when Jesus was silent. Every disease that you've been going through, having problems with, was taken care of on that cross when Jesus was silent. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, "Oh, we are like sheep and have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us." Everything, the sins that you're thinking of committing next week, he died for that. The sins that they haven't actually committed yet, he died for that. The sins that they haven't actually invented yet, he died for that. The disease that man has ever created yet, he died for that. In his silence, and Isaiah said it all. Young people, this Jesus died for your sins. Don't get brainwashed by some people that tell you that he was a good man. He wasn't a good man. He's your savior. Amen. Died for your sins. He's the sacrificial lamb that died for your sins. Hallelujah. No one else bore your burden but Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet, he said, he opened not his mouth. And he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent." So he opened his mouth, or he opened not his mouth. When he was doing all this, it was the most important work that he ever did, and he was silent, did not open his mouth. Are you getting this? Is this something that you're getting right now? God explained why Jesus was silent in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15. He says, "For what had not been told, them they shall what? See. And what they had not heard, they shall what? Consider." For 3.5 years he was preaching, but they could not understand. For 3.5 years he was preaching and they could not hear. But the Bible says when the blood starts to sprinkle and the pressure gets on and they will hear, even though they will speak on that cross. And they will finally understand, even though they did not see, his silence will be louder than every word that is even spoken in this book. The sermon of silence is powerful for every Christian sitting in this room this morning. It was the quietest day on Good Friday. For 5 hours and 59 minutes, it was silent on the cross. And yet it was the loudest. More was said in silence on that cross than 3.5 years of his ministry. Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Christ said, "He was the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep." Christ said, "He will lay his life down and in 3 days he will raise it again." Christ said, but on Good Friday, hallelujah, he said nothing and stood and stayed on the cross for 6 hours. A lot of people talk and talk when the rubber meets the road. It's time to stay on your cross. He was showing his disciples who were following him. This is important. How to handle the cross that each of them would face. God is talking to you this morning, my friends. God is talking to somebody this morning. Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours to show you and I how to handle our cross. Most of us think that this was his only cross. He said, take up yours and follow me. Amen. Most of us think that we're not going to carry our cross. Carry a cross and follow him. Amen. Shut up, stop complaining. Shut up, be silent, and follow him. Amen. Many of us think that he's the only one that's going to carry this cross. You and I sitting here today must carry our cross. But not only carry our cross, we must stay on our cross. Stay on it. It was not just his cross that he taught. He established the cross as the measure of what? True discipleship. That's why I said, whoever wants to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Amen. And shut up. Amen. That's a Bible college, Jesus Bible college right there. Shut up. Carry your cross and follow me. I sat on that cross for 6 hours and said nothing so that this word can be fulfilled in your life. Hallelujah. The acid test for discipleship is not how well you can preach, how well you look and go to church carrying a Bible and attending church every day. The acid test for your discipleship is how long you can stay on your cross. Amen. All of us are going to have crosses coming our ways. Some of you are having it too comfortable at the moment. You need some crosses come your way. God's going to send some cross to test some people. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm saved. Your cross is coming. Amen. The moment you get born again in Jesus Christ, washed by the blood of Jesus, you are on a cross country, my friend. Your cross is coming. So don't think that any pastor can preach to you and say, oh, life is going to be good now you're a Christian. Tell him to go and read his Bible properly. What Bible college did he come out of? Hallelujah. A Christian road is not a simple road, my friends. It's a rugged old crossroad. Full of crosses. It's a cross country, not a sprint. You don't get there quick. You got to run. Hallelujah. Carry your cross and run. And while you're at it, stay on your cross. Stop this backsliding and onsliding, outsliding, all this kind of sliding. Stay on your cross, hallelujah. Tell somebody this morning, stay on your cross. It's a cross country we are on today. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 to 39. Listen to what he says. Hallelujah. He says, whoever, oh, I love it. Everybody say, whoever. Whoever. Tell your neighbor, whoever. Whoever. Shout it out loud, whoever. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know what? He's not talking about the early church. He's talking about you. He says, whoever means whoever that claims to be my disciple. When you say whoever, it is you. You're putting yourself in this scripture. He says, loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He's not talking about his cross now. He's talking about your cross. Some of you think that the cross was just made for him. He's got a different one for you, my friends. That's why he said, pick up yours and follow me. He's showing you how to handle your cross by the way he handled his for 6 hours. He stayed there and said nothing. Said everything, took care of business, made sure everything was taken care of, and then stood there. And the whole world saw everything that was happening in silence. Hallelujah. Every believer has a cross. You got to carry your cross before you have your resurrection. Amen. There's a resurrection coming after every cross. There's a storm coming, but at the end of the storm, there's always a calm that comes before it. You and I live in Cairns. We know what cyclones are all about. They come and they pass. There's always a clearing at the end. Bear your cross and stay there. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not what? Worthy of me. He didn't die when he was saying that. He was saying that when he was teaching the disciples. This is the cross school that he was teaching them. He preached it, preached the kingdom, and then he taught them the cross. preached the kingdom and he taught them the cross. Amen. Preached the kingdom and taught them the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. The school of the cross country. Hallelujah. He says, I know you all love me. I know you were all cheering up and down when I was coming on the donkey into the town and you're worshiping me and saying all these amazing things about me. Hallelujah. But that is not the test. The test is when you are on your cross. Amen. When you're going through your burdens, taking your burdens and carrying your burdens on that cross. Hallelujah. It says in 39, verse 39, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, look, crosses have to do with dying. But yours has got to do with all the stuff that you're going to go through. Everything that you go through in life is a cross. Yeah. It's a cross life. Cross life is not a comfortable life. If you're comfortable, you're not living a cross life. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't come against those who do not live a cross life. Because you easy prey. You're not a danger to him. But those that carry their cross, and not only carry their cross, but stay on their cross when they're going through their burdens, those are the ones that the devil feared most. Those are the ones that they will say, Jesus we know. Paul we know. These are the ones that the name is feared in hell. People, when the devil's demons hear it in hell, said, be careful when you go out there. And they mention your name. These are the cross people, hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, die to the pursuit of the world, die to that the world says it's a success, abandon the pressure of the world to comfort you, and lose your mind, or lose your life for what? For my sake. That means find out what I gave birth for you. Your career is not your cross, my friends. Your job is not your cross, my friends. Your life, your cross life lives inside of that. You take your cross to work. You take your cross to school. You take your cross wherever you go. And you stay on it. When you find out my purpose for your life and abandon all those things, the whole lot of cross is going to come your way, Jesus says. There's a whole lot of cross that's going to come our way when we die to ourselves. One of the greatest temptations of following Christ is to answer your critics. A lot of us are so quick to go, I want to say something right now. I feel like just saying something today. Oh, they don't know who they're dealing with right now. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that God taught me is never to answer your critics. People talk about me. Do I worry about that? No. I know who I am in Christ. I know where I'm going. I know where I came from. So why would I worry about what you think about me? Hallelujah. People say things about me, and they do to you too. So listen to me. Don't think people like you. Nobody likes you. Nobody. No, see, the moment you understand that nobody likes you, your life is going to be great. I can guarantee you that. Because a lot of people like people to like them. And when people don't like them, they go, they said something. Yeah. Shut up and stay on your cross. When you find out this secret that I found out from the Holy Spirit, I have no problems. I don't answer my critics. Just shut up. Because whatever they say is going to deal with them. Hallelujah. It is a great temptation not to keep silent, but wanting to answer our critics. We try to explain why we believe that what we believe, we keep quiet. We keep quiet and we keep on believing. No matter what they say, Jesus said, keep doing what you're doing. No matter what they say about you, keep doing what you're doing.
Amen.
Keep living how you're living. Keep living the cross life. Don't worry about what they say about you. Stop worrying about people's opinions about you. Hallelujah. All you got to care about is what God thinks about you. And when you know about that, your life is really good. When I when I discover that nobody likes me and I found out that I don't have to worry about that, my life was good. Hallelujah. So stop trying to go and make people like you. That's why I said, when people come to say, I love you and you're the sunshine of my life, you tell them, go love God first. Because if you don't love God, then you are an hindrance to the purpose of God in my life. That's for one young person sitting here today. Young woman, young unmarried man, woman sitting here today. That's your word. That's the acid test. Somebody comes up and say, oh, I love you. Shut up and love God first. How do I know I'm the sunshine? I said it last week. It's true. People come and say you're a sunshine of their life, and then you find out they've got a moonshine of their life somewhere too. There's a whole lot of Draculas and demons and things happening at nighttime. So be careful. Don't try to make people like you. You are in a cross country. In a cross country, you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Stop trying to say things. He said, just be quiet. Be quiet. Jesus said, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Oh, I like that. God, I'm just going to shut up because I know that when you deal with them, it's going to be much better than if I want to open my mouth. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, you know, just dust your feet and leave them to me. Ooh, hallelujah. When you leave somebody to God, man, he's going to have a sleepless night. Holy Spirit's going to arrest him and really make some mess of him. Whoever that is talking against you today, there's some of you sitting here and people talking against you. Listen to me. Shut up. Jesus spent 6 hours on that cross, said nothing. It's a lesson for us to learn this morning. It's a cross country. Hallelujah. Test of the true nation of Jesus was not his ministry on earth. The test of the true nature of Jesus was given out the same week before he died, and it's found in John chapter 17, verse 1, when he said, Father, oh, I like that, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son what, may be glorified. When you go through your test and your cross, get ready to be glorified by God. God's going to raise you up and shine you out like never before. Because you're a man and a woman that need to answer any critic. Thank you. Jesus said, Lord, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be what? Glorify. Glorify means to reveal the true nature, because I am going to the cross. It is what you do under pressure that shows the world who you really are in Christ. Pressure comes is when the Christians shine. Coronavirus comes is when a Christian shines. Don't run off the toilet papers in the shop. Go and get a banana leaf or something. Hallelujah. And don't panic. Use water. Can you believe what's happening in this world? What is the coronavirus and toilet paper? And Christians are doing that. I just have to say that this morning. Hallelujah. Glorify means to reveal the true nature, because I'm going to the cross, Christ said. Hallelujah. Some folks are always telling you to come down from your cross. Does it sound familiar? Beware of the spirit of Job's wife, and beware of the spirit of Lot's wife. This is a warning to the church this morning. And it's going to be a warning to us every day. Somebody comes up and tells you to come down from your cross. You know, when I had this gout on my foot, somebody says, oh, it's the devil. Listen, the devil didn't tell you to go and eat red meat. The devil didn't tell you to go and eat all his nice food. When people say, oh, it's the devil, I said, no. It's God. God's showing me something. God's telling me to watch my diet. God's telling me to eat less red meat. God's telling me to watch my exercise and live longer, because I got work to do for him. That's what God is telling me. Amen? Because he needs me and he needs you. That's why when you get sick, stop blaming the devil. The Bible says the devil goes around in before the throne accusing what? The brethren. And Jesus says, he's going to come after you. All of us will have our test. But stop, listen to me, listen. Stop from this moment on blaming the devil. Every time you blame the devil, you give him glory for everything. Everything. So stop giving him all the glory and give it to God. So God, you're showing me something. People get all caught up, oh, you got God, no, because the enemy is coming against you. No, he's not. God's telling me to watch my diet. Simple as that. Hallelujah. Cut down red meat. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I love lamb, but you got to cut it down. Hallelujah. Stay on your cross. Stay on your cross, my friends. We're going into uncharted waters, and we're going to go through some cross country. Stop complaining when you're on your cross. When you feel like complaining, most of your complaining is always against God anyway. Job stayed on his cross. Oh, I love Job. And his wife said, Job, why don't you just end it right there? Curse God and die and everything's fine. Job said, even if he slays me, I will not say anything against my God. He says, I will praise him. Even if he slays me, I will praise him. That's Job. He was on his cross and everybody else was telling him to come down. If you're going through, you're staying on your cross right now, stay there. Because your resurrection is coming. Amen. At the end of every cross, there's a resurrection that comes. Hallelujah. The cross is the only God's act of redemption. It's not only God's act of redemption or his act of salvation, but also his method of restoring to the spirit of leadership in every single human being. You don't learn nothing in good times, my friends. You don't learn all these amazing things in good times. If your life is in a good, you're living a nice, comfortable life, you're not learning anything. Until some test comes against you, then you start to grow inside your spirit. Are you with me this morning? Amen. This is a very important message for us this morning. The principles of it is important. Hallelujah. Some of you need some crosses. You don't read your Bibles anymore. You watch TV because life is good. God needs to bring some cross in your way so that you can start to go back into prayer. Start to go back into reading the Word of God. Start to go back into coming to church. Don't come to church just because you have a problem. Come to church because church is a culture. Church has to be your culture. It's a lifestyle. It's not coming because, I said last week, it's not coming because there's a nice guest speaker in the house. Or a prophet has come to town. Or some new person is preaching this morning. Come to church because it's your culture. Amen. It's your lifestyle. You pray, you worship together corporately in a church. And it's your lifestyle. You live it. Amen. I said last week, don't be a bumper sticker Christian. If you put a bumper sticker on, you better live like that bumper sticker. Yes. According to what the bumper stickers say. Because when the rubber meets the road, the bumper sticker doesn't mean anything until you stay on that cross. People are looking at real Christians staying on their cross. We keep getting up there and coming down, getting up there and coming down from our cross every time. Hallelujah. God is going to send some crosses our ways unless we start to come into a place of change. Changing our mindset. Changing the way we think, changing the way we used to do things before, changing the old style or culture that we're so used to. Oh, I'm so used to this. Well, get ready for some change. No longer can you be a phony Christian. Why? Because the cross has forever settled the issue that everything you say must be tested. If you say something in this book, get ready to be tested by it. He said he's the lamb, he's the atoning sacrifice. And then when the moment came to prove it, he stayed silent on the cross. Didn't say a thing. Because he said he was the lamb that was going to be slain. And he stayed there to show you and I that he's getting slayed on the cross. He's not just talking about it. He didn't say, I am Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then didn't stay on that cross. Hallelujah. It's a lesson for us Christians. You got to keep your mouth shut when you're proving that you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. No trying to talk against all the critics that come against you. Stay quiet on your cross. When Peter said to Jesus, Lord, listen to this. I'm ready to go to prison with you. And then he added, even to death. Jesus said, oh, Peter, you have just invited a test. Hallelujah. That's why I said, do not call out to God and say, God, use me ignorantly. You better be prepared to be used by God when you pray prayers like that. Have your way with me. You better be prepared to be to God to have his way with you. Amen. When Peter opened his mouth and said, I am ready to go to prison and even to death with you, Christ. Jesus said, you get ready for the test. It's coming. And listen to this. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, he says, indeed, Satan has what? Asked for you, that he may sift you as a wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, in other words, when you stop backsliding, then come back, and he says, strengthen your brethren. Satan is asking for everybody sitting in this room today. Every one of you. The moment you were born again, born into the kingdom of God, Satan wants you. A test is coming for you. When you say and quote a scripture in the Bible, a test is coming for you. Are you going to stand on that word? Did you just say it? By his stripes we are healed. Are you going to stay on that word? In other words, when you have come back, Peter, when you stop backsliding and come back, strengthen your brethren, he says. When you confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that was the day you invited your cross. So be careful. Be ready when you call him Lord and Savior, because your cross is coming. Your test is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. When you decided in your heart that it is time for some real change, time to stop being a fake, phony Christian, you will start to see some tests come into your life. Amen. The world has been misrepresented by Christians. We have so many Christians going around misrepresenting Christ. God is looking for those that are all true calling him, that will stay on their cross. No matter what, hallelujah. You quote scriptures, but you don't live scriptures. Amen. That's what a phony Christian is. Quoting scriptures and do not live like the scripture. Putting stickers on cars and do not live like the sticker. The true test will come to test your stickers, my friends. Your t-shirt that you wear around. The scriptures that you pasted on tattoos and things like that. You're going to be tested for that. It's coming. I like Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27 to 28 or 29. It says, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken, what may remain. Everything that man built, everything is man made, every kind of preconceived ideas of men, God is going to shake all that. And only things that are built in the kingdom or of the kingdom will stand. That includes your life as a Christian. Who did you build your life on? Is it on the rock, Christ Jesus? Or is it just the name that you called and walking around? Faking it. Christianity is not a faking lifestyle. You don't fake Christianity. You don't fake following Christ. You live the lifestyle of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Because when you live it, the true power of the Holy Spirit starts to operate inside your life. If you fake it, how are you going to tap into the unknown power that God has for you? It is not time to fake Christianity now. Therefore, since we are, verse 28 says, are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have what? Have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is what? A consuming fire. Everything that you built is going to be tested by fire. That's including your life, my friends. Your Christian walk with Christ is going to be tested with fire. Everything that you build and claim that it is built in Christ, but do not walk in it, is going to be tested, shaken, and only thing that stands for God will stand. It's time to really carry your cross and follow after Jesus. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. It's cross country. It's not for the faint heart, my friends. It's for those that are going to go. We're going to go all the way. We're not going to be professional quitters in everything that we do. We're going to finish everything. Because when he stayed on that cross, he said, it is what? Finished. And we're going to finish it. When you start something, finish it. Hallelujah. And to prove what? Let me just give you something that you need to prove. These are the scriptures that we love quoting. These are the scriptures that we always claim to be ours. Well, it is given to you. It was a promise that was given to you by Christ. But it is to be tested and proven in your life. John chapter 3, verse 30. I'm going to finish with all the scriptures now. He must become what? Greater and greater. And I must become less and less. Prove that by staying on your cross. Tell somebody, prove that word by staying on your cross. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 to 21 says, I have been what? Crucified with Christ. And I no longer what? Live, but Christ lives inside of me. In the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through law, then Christ died for nothing. Prove that on your cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31 says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Prove that on your cross. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 to 25 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of the sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Tell your neighbor, prove that on your cross. Come on, tell him, prove that on your cross. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. You were what? Taught with regard to your former way of life to what? Put off all self, which is being corrupted by these deceitful desires, to be made new in attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like what? God, in true righteousness and holiness. Prove that on your cross. You like that scripture? Prove it on your cross. Hallelujah. Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. Prove that on your cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, he himself what bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For his wounds you were healed. Prove that on your cross. It's a cross country, my friends. Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus said, whoever drinks from me will not thirst again. And on the day of the cross, he stayed silent. In his silence spoke louder than any sermon that is ever spoken or preached. That is our challenge this morning for our 2020 shift of mindset. Time for quoting scriptures and nice printing nice t-shirts and writing it on your book and all your calendars and everywhere. Time to just write it and quote it. It's finished. It's time to live it.
Amen.
Time to live the life that you claim to have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. When you start doing that, you are a dangerous man and a woman. The devil fears people who actually what? Leave scriptures. People who leave according to the word of God. People who not just preach it and say it, but leave it. Apply it inside their hearts and their lives. It's a cross country, my friends. We are living in a cross country. Whatever that comes against you, your promises are in this book. Your constitution tells you that all these promises is yea and yea, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside and living inside of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be people of doing and not just hearing. Amen. Hallelujah. Close your eyes. I want to pray. Father, I thank you. Papa God, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, as we chart these uncharted waters, oh God. Holy Spirit, I pray for the lives and the hearts of your people. God, you know them. Each and every one of them is bearing a cross. They're here because they're bearing a cross. They're here because they believe in you. We're all here together because we believe in you. And Father, we thank you that as we, not just the people of just talking about the cross, but people that leave the cross, people that stay on the cross, people that never want to insult our critics, but know that you are the one, that judgment is yours. Everything that people talk about us, Father, you are the one that will judge them. You are the one. And Lord, I pray that each and every man, woman, and children will understand this principle this morning. Thank you, Father, as we continue on our week of our month or a couple of months as we go in this path of mindset change in the 2020 shift. Lord, we put you first in everything. God, everything in our lives, you are first. That our purpose, that our true purpose and our calling and our priority is seeking your kingdom. That we will seek your kingdom first and your righteousness, and that everything that we desire, everything that we have, shall be added unto us. That is your word, and we are going to prove that on our cross. We're going to stay on our cross and prove every word that you have spoken in the Bible, everything that you've given us in the constitution of our kingdom, God, that it will be and it shall be proven as we walk the walk and the path of the cross, Father. Lord, I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray your healing touch upon your people this morning. Father, whoever is going through some situations, God, whether it's health, oh God, whether it's finances, oh God, whether it's family, marriage, relationship, God, I release your word today upon your family, your people, that I pray that everything, that your promises already stand, that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, Father, we shall condemn. Lord, it is our heritage of God, and we stand on that word, Lord, and we stay on the cross as we walk it and as we believe in it. I pray, Lord, every family, I speak your blessing upon each and every family this morning. Father, that, Lord, we've already prayed your prayer, prayed your covering upon them, that nothing shall come before them, that nothing shall touch them. Lord, we thank you. And I release that, Lord, upon each and every one today. We speak your blessing, that may the Lord bless you all. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, shalom. That there is nothing missing in your life. There's nothing broken in your life. Everything has been made whole, well, and complete in your job, your family, your health, your relationship, your children. Everything that God has purposed for you, nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. All been restored well. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. And all God's people agree to this and said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.